Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrne, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrne Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. Last week's podcast considered research about the process of research. One of the two studies I mentioned considered the increased use of hyperbole in the reporting of scientific results. In the past 40 years, the use of emotionally charged adjectives has increased dramatically in scientific writing. This week, I'd like to give you an example of the way science is being reported. It concerns the hormone oxytocin. Even if you're not a big fan of science or behavior, you probably read reports about oxytocin as the love or the cuddly hormone. Some people even went so far as to say that it would be possible to use oxytocin to make anxious people or unfriendly people more friendly. Although I could appreciate the connection between oxytocin and warm, fuzzy feelings in some individuals, I found the interpretation of this data by those in the behavioral community, particularly the companion animal community, somewhat troubling. I knew oxytocin directly and indirectly in another form. I knew it as an undergraduate student and a veterinary student, where I learned of its function in the birthing process, causing the contraction of the uterus. I saw it at work in a synthetic form, Pitocin, when it was given to a sow who had so many piglets she was exhausted and couldn't sustain the birthing process herself. And I felt the effects of it personally. I can only assume that those people who embraced oxytocin strictly as a cuddly or love hormone never experienced or seen birth. Had they would realize that at that time, what the female was experiencing wasn't a cuddly experience. Instead, it was dramatic, one of the most powerful forces of nature. So now we have a hormone that seems to be somewhat schizophrenic in its actions. On the one hand, it causes uterine contractions that are not at all warm and fuzzy. On the other extreme, we have the love hormone, the cuddly hormone. The birthing process enables receptive females and any attending receptive males to make this transition. Note the presence of the word receptive. Typically, this transition occurs in nursing. Initially, when the baby nurses, it also triggers contraction of the uterus. This helps to cleanse the uterus. Physiologically, that's a good thing. On the downside, it's somewhat uncomfortable. The mother must cope with a paradox. On the one hand, there is this infant animal, her heritage, if you will, her first step toward immortality, perhaps. And on the other hand, there's the discomfort. Then the question becomes, what will she choose? This brings up another aspect of oxytocin. Other research in oxytocin has indicated that how one responds to it relative to affiliation toward other individuals and feelings toward one's parents depend on how one was treated by one's own. If we have what we consider substandard relationships, then oxytocin will potentiate those feelings later on. On the other hand, if we have warm, cuddly experiences, that's the image that will be enhanced thanks to the action of this hormone. In such a way, we see that oxytocin has many incarnations. And in some very complex ways, we haven't even begun to study, let alone make large pronouncements about. So if you find yourself talking about oxytocin as the love hormone, as if it were a done deal, one size fits all, you might want to rethink that a little. You might want to start thinking in terms of what happens when dogs give birth, when cats give birth, when mares give birth. Initially, is it a warm, fuzzy experience? Or is something else going on here? And what happens during the transition? The transition from giving birth to nursing. The transition from nursing to letting go. In the process of creating the most energy-efficient system, many substances in the body have multiple functions. We can isolate these functions in our studies, but in everyday life, we owe it to ourselves, our patients, our clients, and the animals with whom we share our lives to try to take as many of the different permutations of these substances into account as possible.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.